Hi, everyone. This is Special K, Kevin Latch for the Black Flag Cast, and tonight I have the great honor of speaking with the undisputed madman of the anime world, Mr. Chuck Huber. Chuck, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Kevin. Good to talk to you.
Ah, great. A pleasure. Would you like to tell my audience first a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm a voice actor and a regular actor, a leg actor, a face actor, but I'm mostly known for... I started off in the role of Garlic Jr. in Dragon Ball Z and did Android 17, Hiei and Yu Yu Hakusho, more recently Dr. Stein and Soul Eater and a whole bunch of other ones.
Very interesting. And how did you come to be, go from common ordinary actor to, the voice actor that so many of us equate with such interesting talents as the ones you mentioned, including also Kulu from Sergeant Frog and Austria and Austria from Italia.
Yeah, I was, it's like any acting gig. I always tell people the way it happens is you're in the presence of other actors and they find out about stuff. And actors are pretty generous in sharing information. And I was in rehearsals one night for a improv group that we had in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And a buddy of mine, Brad Jackson, came in. He's the voice of Oolong and Dragon Ball Z. And he came in and to rehearsals. He's like, hey, you should go audition for this Dragon Balls thing. And I was like, Dragon Balls? That sounds like porn. And he was like, no, it's Japanese anime. And I'm like, yeah, it's definitely porn then. He was like, no, dude, it's really cool. You should go audition. And so he gave me the number. It was Chris Sabat's number. And it was just his cell number, man. Like, I just called him and set up an audition, and I auditioned for the role of Garlic Jr. And it was one of those things. I almost didn't go to the audition. I almost skipped it because it didn't seem like it was a real thing. It seemed kind of hinky to me. And but I ended up going, and it ended up being like a major part of my career ever since.
And how did it go from there? I mean, it went from, I've taken it, this is probably the role of Pilaf, Emperor Pilaf in the original series, and going on from there, I mean, what was, where did it go from there? I think it was probably, next was probably Hero on Shinchan.
Well, Yu Yu Hakusho was after that. It's interesting because we didn't do Dragon Ball until way later after DBZ and Yu Yu Hakusho. So Emperor Pilaf came much later in the sort of timeline of things. It went DBZ, and then we did a show called Blue Gender. Mm-hmm. I played a character named Han in Blue Gender. It was a shorter series. And then Yu Yu Hakusho came along, and I was Hiei in Yu Yu Hakusho, and then Dragon Ball after that. And I got to be Emperor Pilaf, and I was so happy when Emperor Pilaf came back because, you never think you're going to, jump into that character again, and then suddenly you are. And from there, yeah, Shin-Chan and, just so many that I've done. I was Lion Tamer Moji in One Piece and Kulalu, like you mentioned, from Sergeant Frog. Just I've been doing it for like almost 20 years now, and I've probably done over 200 characters, so it's kind of astounding to, just look at the body of work and go, wow, I guess I did all that.
And many voice actors started out as, fans of various series and stuff. Were you a fan at any time of, like, comics and anime before your time as a voice actor?
Yeah, when I was a little kid, I was a fan of G-Force and, Speed Racer. And then in college, I saw Akira. It was probably the first one that blew my mind. I was like, wow, that is different than cartoons in America. And it was subtitled. And, so it was just kind of amazing to see the art form like that. And then I kind of, I was in college and I was focused on sort of the theater acting and stuff that I was doing at the time and the TV and film stuff. And then after moving to Dallas-Fort Worth and then jumping back into anime, I was like, oh, holy cow, this is huge now. It's gotten so much bigger. It was kind of a very small niche thing when I was in college. And then by the time, the mid-90s rolled around, it started getting bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm. Well, moving back to the characters you created, one of the more iconic ones that, to begin with, I mean, we spoke of Emperor Pilaf. Some say the the genesis of some of your more eccentric characters. How did Emperor Pilaf like come about? How did you like kind of create the voice role for that?
Yeah, Emperor Pilaf, like his voice, and this is what I tell people, sometimes will come up to the table and be like, I do a great imitation of Vegeta. And I'm like, oh, great, let me hear it. And they do, you know, they do a really good imitation of Vegeta. But that's really not the way into voice acting. Doing bad imitations is really the way into voice acting. And Emperor Pilaf is my really bad imitation of a character named Edith Bunker from All in the Family. I saw his character and I was like, oh, Archie, So I'm actually doing a bad imitation of like a 60-year-old woman from Queens. So Emperor Pilaf is really a 60-year-old woman from Queens.
Oh, marvelous. And then from that, many say came the brilliant mad scientist slash inventor of the armpit platoon, Kulu, whose iconic laugh has, you know, made many of us just simply laugh upon hearing it. And how did you like take on the kind of like autistically maniacal elements of Kulu, you know, kind of melding that, you know, that kind of light high-pitched voice to, you know, this rather maniacal genius that is Kulu?
Yeah, those characters are some of my favorite characters because you get to try to figure out why they enjoy what they're doing. And I think Kulu just likes seeing how things explode, or like if things are good, because he's playful as well as destructive, you know, because, you know, he'll shrink people and they'll race around a racetrack, or he'll, you know, fill the house with a breathable liquid, or, you know, so he likes to have fun as much as he likes to destroy. And I think that's probably my favorite thing about the sort of maniacal characters, is figuring out what it is that they do that's, you know, awesome.
And then it seems to have branched off. The voice continues on in Austria. Especially, you can hear a little bit, almost an identical Kulu when he's talking about Prussia.
Oh my goodness, Prussia! Oh yeah, that's definitely in my upper range. And the Austria voice came about. There used to be a Mike Myers character who used to be like a German dance dude named Dieter. Now is the time on Sprockets Ventry Dance, and I just sort of started with, once again, a bad imitation of that, kind of raised the pitch. Now is the time on Sprockets Ventry Dance, and just sort of made him a little bit more full of life. And that's how Austria came about.
And then you took the scientist angle of Kulu and seem to have placed it quite well in the, although voice very straight, but yet still, you know, crazy and maniacal Dr. Frankenstein and Soul Eater.
Yeah, Dr. Stein's one of my favorite characters. He's got such a great, and he's an example of one of those characters that's really fun to play, because you're not kind of in the same vein as like EA, where you're not sure if he's a good guy or a bad guy, especially at first. And his entrance is just amazing. Dr. Stein is, he's so loved by the fans that it's he's probably the one I see cosplayed the most when I'm in at the conventions.
And we talked earlier about Hiro on Shinshan. You know, what do you think about that character, especially trying to play the father of the absolute, like, you're playing the straight character to the rather insanely rude brat that is Shinshan. I mean, what do you think about that role? You know, you're kind of a bit of a role reversal.
Yeah, Laura Bailey does an awesome job as Shinshan, and that was probably the most fun recording. We laughed more than any other show recording that show, because there was a lot of room for improv or improving on jokes or trying different things to make things funnier. So that was, even though I was playing kind of a straight man, it was, he still had many comical moments. I mean, just the other day I was in Funimation and I was telling Zach Bolton, the director, that we need to try to get a hold. There's like 25 Shinshan movies. And I said, Funimation should get the rights, because we can't do any more seasons, because it was a really hard writing challenge. But to do a movie every year would be doable. And I was like, Funimation should get one Shin Chan movie a year and let us do it, because they're awesome.
Right on. And you're known for some other more, a little bit more obscure characters, such as Ash on Black Butler, Terao from Penny and Stocking with Garter Belt. Those of you who might remember the famed Little Japan episode, and even Endo on Cat Planet Cuties. For those of you who watch it in Japanese, Asobi no Yukio. What do you think about just like those small ones where, you know, you get these little roles, but you get to do so much with them?
Well, Ash is another one that fans really seem to respond to. I'm having a British dialect to make me appear smarter than I actually am. Panty and Stocking was one of those shows that I just, you know, I got to job in on it. And I was just like, what is going on in this series? It's crazy. So, yeah, getting to come into sort of larger properties like that for just an episode or two can be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And, I mean, with all these kind of what we like might consider nutty or off the wall or eccentric characters, you know, you seem to be the master at them, but as an actor, it seems to be, it's a little bit scary, you know, that you could become typecast for, you know, being so good at such roles. I mean, is that something that ever crosses your mind?
No, you know, I mean, like the fear of being typecast, so long as like, narratives are still going to have those characters, that's not a problem then. Cause then it just means you have a certain skill set that people are going to leverage, when they have a property. So I'm not, you know, I'm not worried about being typecast. And anime is only a portion of what I do. I do, you know, TV and film and theater and my own writing and other stuff. So, you know, there's never any real fear when it comes. And once again, I'm not always those characters. There's a lot of other characters that I do that are not crazy. Although for some reason I do get a lot of the crazy characters, which I don't mind because they're fun to play.
Fair enough. And considering, you know, you spoke earlier about working with the group on Shin Chan and many others, I mean, what was it like working with other VAs? And do you have any specific anecdotes that kind of gives you, like, you know, kind of people a clue as to, you know, what it is like, you know, in and out of the booth?
Yeah, the great thing about voice actors is, like all actors, we all have, you know, egos. We all want our work to be really good. So we all like strive for perfection in our own work and are challenged by other people's work. But because we work separately from each other, you know, we're in the booth by ourselves. There's not really any competition. You never feel it because by the time any, you know, competition would be there, the show's already cast and recorded. So there's never any animosity between the VAs, which is really nice. And then where we do get to hang out is at the conventions, and that's where, you know, you end up getting to know them and you know, getting to know the voice actors from LA, because I'm one of the Dallas voice actors. You know, you overlap at conventions, and like I ended up working production-wise with like Brina Palencia on the Troubadours web series and on a film I did, also with Chris Sabat. And then, you know, Sabat has his own production studio, Okotron 5000. They do a lot of video game recording, and I work with him on that. So, you know, working with it, I don't really have any, like, funny anecdotes about VAs or, like, crazy anecdotes, because I'm not really that crazy a guy. But, you know, they're just all really awesome. And I work with Vic and Todd on the Star Trek series, which is probably one of my favorite things I do every year.
Right on. And so you would say maybe there might be something more interesting that we see, you know, that we definitely would see a different side of you guys in that respect in the Star Trek series, along with you and Todd and Vic Mignogna.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a serious production, a serious set, so it's very much like all the other professional productions I've been on, and so but we definitely goof around in between takes. I mean, if you ever want to see what it's like in between, there's like always, after every episode, we're up to episode 5 now. If you were to go on YouTube and Google Star Trek Continues bloopers, you get to see all the sort of antics that go on behind the scenes.
Fair enough. Everybody, grab your YouTubes. But what do you think about the fans? I mean, especially, you know, you put your, you know, your efforts, you know, you create these bad impersonations of these inspirations, and then, you know, they come to life in your, in the cosplays and other things amongst the fans at these cons. And what do you think about, like, you know, you voice the character and then the character comes to life right in front of you?
Yeah, you know, Chris Sabat and I were having breakfast the other day, actually, and we were talking about the fans. And we were talking about what we didn't get paid, because, like, voice acting doesn't pay that much in acting terms. It's not something that pays you residuals, or it doesn't keep you afloat money-wise. It's a little extra money when you do the recording, but the getting to come out to conventions and, like, the fan support is, like, more than paid us back for what we didn't make, on the productions themselves. So getting to see the fans, getting to meet the fans, that's the sort of extra bonus that we get that, and it's something that other actors don't get. Actors in television shows and movies don't get that much fan interaction. And, it's something that we've become expert at, and it makes the distance between fan and artist a lot smaller, which I appreciate, because I think the way the whole internet cycle of production is going now, that the fans are becoming more and more in control of what the product is that's going to be created, so that you end up with, what I always say is meeting our bosses when I'm at the conventions, and to see them dressed up and cosplaying what the characters that we are. I'm always taking pictures of people cosplaying EA or Dr. Stein and posting them on my Facebook page, because it's just, you know, it's just kind of awesome.
And of all the characters that you've seen, is there any one that, like, literally you've seen and done in such a way that, like, it really, you know, made you kind of take a, like, you know, kind of were, you were taken aback at just how well it was done, or just simply how well they tried to do your voice?
Yeah, there was a girl who did the angelic form Ash with these 15-foot extendable wings, and that was amazing. And I have a picture with her. It was at a con in Denver, I believe it was. It might have been Nandesu Con, but she was, I mean, that was an amazing cosplay. And Ash was drawn with very feminine features, so she looked, it was like the character had come to life. And those wings, when she extended them out, she had these little strings that she pulled, and she extended them out, and they extended out like 15 feet. It was amazing.
Absolutely. We touched earlier on, you know, some of your other acting. I mean, you say that, you know, you've done all sorts of other acting. What might, outside of Star Trek Continues, do you think people would, like, you know, would know you, or, and do you think that maybe your anime persona is more known than any of your others?
Yeah, absolutely. Anime is the thing I'm known the most for. This kind of January 6th is the season premiere of season 2 of American Crime, which is a series on ABC that just was nominated for 4 Golden Globes, which I have a recurring character on that. So that's kind of, that was a big deal this year for me. And then I have a film directed by Chuck Norris's son called Amerageddon, which the trailer for that just premiered on the Alex Jones show today. And then I have, you know, several other projects that I'm working on. I have a distribution company looking for placement for my movie, Arbor Day the Musical. And then I have several other things that I'm just sort of getting ready to promote. One is a YouTube channel. I used to be a principal at a school, and I used all these memorization techniques with my students. And I've started taking those memorization techniques and videotaping they're really little drawings, little doodles, and I'm going to sort of stick them on YouTube and let everybody watch them, so I can be like Professor Stein teaches you how to memorize the times tables.
And that would be awesome, considering the fact that for those of you who do not know, there is a whole series called Manga University that teaches you a various number of subjects in a similar manner. So I wish
you... Oh, seriously?
Absolutely.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, there you go. Another convert. So considering, you know, you work in the anime industry and you may have seen this, that there has been a general fusion between American and Japanese styles as time goes on in graphic novels and animated series. What do you think about that? I mean, considering that, you know, you are in many ways one of the pioneers of this cultural exchange.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The whole world is becoming more and more a single culture as all the cultures blend on the internet and people sort of gravitate towards what they... The cultures are now, you know, niches or fandoms, so that each fandom is its own culture. And the fact that fans are the same... Like, Hetalia fans all squeal when I do the Austria voice, and they do that in New Zealand, and they do that in Australia, and they do that in Dublin, and they do that in Texas... So, like, all over the world, all the cultures are starting to mix, and people get to sort of pick and choose. So it's no surprise that the sort of artistry of Japanese anime is starting to mix with more Western styles of, you know, comic book creation.
Right on. And do you have any words of wisdom, you know, to many – there are many people out there who are trying to get in on this, trying to be voice actors in anime, get involved in the industry in that way. You know, considering the road you traveled, is there anything you might pass on to them, words of wisdom?
Yeah, I always say that if you want to be an actor, start by being the best actor you can be. Specifically, if you want to work in anime, you got to move to LA or Dallas and be the best actor you can be and try to make your living as an actor. If you want to be a voice actor of a different sort, of more like YouTube voice actor, then figure out a story or project that you want to tell and share it with the world. And if you have something that you would do forever without ever getting paid for it, you think it's awesome and hilarious or, you know, touching or whatever it is, the story you want to tell, and you want to do it to the best of your ability, keep making it better, just stick it on YouTube, and eventually the internet will allow you to find the other million people that think exactly like you do, and you know, they will support you, and that will end up being your career.
Right on. Well, is there anything else you'd like to tell my audience?
No, just you're awesome, and thanks for, you know, interviewing me, man. Look forward to, you know, maybe doing it again in another 6 months. We'll catch up and see what's happening.
Roger that. And where might they find you? Do you have any Facebook or anything like that where they might be able to find you?
Yeah, I'm on the regular ones, the Facebook and the Twitter. You know, my Twitter is Chuck_Huber, and my Facebook is, I don't know, Chuck Huber. You can Google it. You'll find it.
All right. Well, Chuck, I want to thank you very much, man, for taking the time tonight. And I wish you a safe journey to your location, a convention, I believe, in Jackson, Mississippi, I believe you said.
Yeah, we're going to Jackson Con in Jackson, Mississippi. It's a one-day con. They have a similar one in Shreveport. It's just awesome, awesome conventions. For one-day cons, they do it right, and it's a real treat to get to do it.
Right on. Well, thank you very much, Chuck, and
I
wish you
luck,
and luck in all your future ventures, boss.
Yeah, thanks. You too.
Right on. This is Special K of the Black Flag Cast.